this morning's topic is one that I happen to be very intrigued by. I happen to have benefited from a couple of friends, be it in some of their written works or through email yesterday, to help direct me a little bit on some of the Makoros here, and I'm certainly indebted to them for that. What I want to talk about is something we speak about a little bit more, maybe Elul time, when we speak about Tshuva, and this is definitely part of it. It happens to be, it's an incredibly important topic in the world of Machshava. It's what underlies a lot of sort of what we do, which is, on the one hand, we live in a generation where people tend to speak a bit more about positive psychology and positive Judaism, about speaking about the good that happens and trying to focus maybe a bit more on Aseh Tov than Sor Meira. It happens to be, though, that undoubtedly there are Averas in this world, and there are people that perform Averas in this world. And sometimes there are Klal Yisrael as a whole, not just individuals, Klal Yisrael as a whole can be in a very, very tricky spot. And one of the intriguing questions to think about is how do different Jewish thinkers, how do different Bali Machshava relate to the idea of Avera? How do they relate to Chet? What exactly does a Chet do to a person? How much can it impact a person? How much can it alter a person? We're going to try to focus on this sheet. It's only two, but we're going to try to focus on three Bali Machshava. And we're going to speak about it in the way that they spoke about it. We're going to speak about the Rav. We're going to speak about Rav Moshe. And we're going to speak about, hopefully if we have time, Chabad, Hasidus, and Lubavitcher Rebbe a little bit. All with different perspectives. There's also, obviously, a good deal of overlap. Sometimes in Shiurim, there becomes a lot more of the action happens where people disagree or in unique perspectives. But there's a lot of overlap between the Rav, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and Rav Moshe, working in many ways with similar primary sources, coming to very similar conclusions. And a lot of what we're going to try to highlight are not per se mutually exclusive mahalchim. It's not that Rav Moshe argues with the Rav about certain things, but there are certain unique formulations that Rav Soloveitchik embraces, certain unique ideas and unique perspectives that Rav Moshe has in Igros Moshe and Dibros Moshe. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who really does talk about it in a unique kind of way, Alpi Torah Sechassidus. So we understand what's the impact of Chet and the impact of Avera, why is it so bad and what does it do? And how much does it really alter a person? A person really messes up badly with lots and lots of sins. So does that do anything to me? Well, what exactly are the results of that kind of behavior? And we'll see, hopefully, that some of these ideas are not depressing. Some of them are actually can hopefully move us a little bit and be somewhat powerful. We'll do it in the order of the Rav of Moshe, and hopefully if we have some time, we'll speak about it for whatever time we do have. Torah Chassidus, in particular Chabad Chassidus. Rav Soloveitchik, and something we spoke about in Elul time, we spoke about the Rav's take on tshuva. The Rav does talk about, in different places, the impact of chet. What happens when a person messes up? What happens when a person sins? The Rav in Al HaTshuva, very famously in the beginning, distinguishes, and some of this is implicit in some of Yishonim also, between two things that happen when a person sins. The first thing that happens when a person sins, a chet is mechayiv, says Rav Soloveitchik. When a person sins, they are now obligated to be punished. That's one level of chet. It's the one that, for many people, they relate to as being primary. It's a great motivator. Knowing that if I violate this aveira, there's going to be a punishment. So that is a somewhat, on some level, a great way of moving someone. The Rambam writes, as much as we had last year at length when we spoke about the Maharal and Yerushalayim, that Yiras Onesh, fear of punishment, it works for people. As Rambam describes, it doesn't require a high level of sophistication. My 2.5-year-old son gets that. Certain things come with certain consequences. Obviously, it's not the kind of onesh that, whatever, but they get the idea of consequences, and that's something which a person need not even be so sophisticated to get. Chet comes with a certain kind of chet is mechayiv. There is an additional level of chet Rav Soloveitchik speaks about, which is chet is something which is mitame. Chet is something which makes a person impure. That one of the things that sin does is forget about whether you're punished or not. Says Soloveitchik, you could at times do a kind of tshuva where you won't get punished anymore, but there are still remnants in your soul. There are still some sort of contamination, some tumma that exists as a result of chet. That's why the Rav speaks about tshuva needing to do two things ideally. Tshuva needs to wipe away punishments, but also to purify. It has to purify also. That's part of what Kippur does, part of what Elul does, to be able to offer a person a certain kind of purification. Now, for Rav Soloveitchik, I want to add two additional pieces. That first piece, I think, is very well known because it's the first section of Al HaTshuva, so you don't have to get that far into the book. to like you try to like read the first, I don't know, 150 words and you're good to go. There are two additional pieces in the Rav that I want to emphasize. Again, one of this is overlap with something that we saw in the past, and another is from Shema Shirim in Yevamos and Daf Yud Zayin. The first from Halachic Man. The Rav in Halachic Man speaks about a different impact of Chet, and this for him is important as Tshuva. We spoke about this at the time as far as why Tshuva can take Zedonos and make Tzchuyos. And that's the following. You have philosophers that argue, Soloveitchik pointed out, that there's no real need to repent, because once you've sinned, you've messed up, and that's in the past, and it's over. And that's one kind of an argument. What I did in the past was in the past, and it's all done. Soloveitchik points out in Halachic Man that that's not really always true. A lot of the sins that we do, they also impact, inform, and have relevance, even in the present and towards the future. The things that I've done in the past can alter the way that I perceive things. Some of the mess-ups that I may have had have the ability to dominate the present and future. When a person's messed up a lot sometimes, a person's made certain mistakes, those mistakes can linger. And those mistakes can linger, sometimes, point out, practically they can linger. I made certain decisions, now I have to live with those decisions. Sometimes a person can mess up. And here, it's not about tumah or about chiyav. It's about the impact of chet messing with the ability we have to be successful going forward. It can impact on our psyche a little bit. It feels bad. It doesn't feel that good if a person's messing up. It doesn't feel that wonderful when you know that, you know, so I haven't davened as well recently. I haven't been doing as well in the last little bit. So what happens as a result of it can impact things. And for the Rav, that's also part of Chet. So part of Tshuva is trying to rectify that also. To learn how to use those negative experiences as a way of channeling and moving me towards greater growth. But for Soloveitchik, as far as the impact of chet, one, it's mechayev, to get punished. Two, it's metame. But part of that, maybe it's part of tumba, but part of it also does is it alters the way we relate to present and future. A guy who's messed up a bit, and he talks about what are you going to do right now, so sometimes he's not going to have the same kind of, like one way of working off of Soloveitchik, he's not going to have the same kind of attitude going forward, because he's going to feel like, I've messed up already. And I've already made certain decisions, which means that I can't ever accomplish X. I can't do Y. That's part of the chet sometimes, is it puts us on a bad trajectory, and it convinces us that we're somewhat limited. And part of tshuva for the Rav is changing all of that. But that's part of the impact of chet for salvation. There is a Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Yudzayah. This Rabbi David Shafkin, his sefer Baruges, Rachi, and Tiskor, has a good discussion about. The Gemara in Daf Yudzayah, on Test Zion to Yudzayah, source number 8 on the sheet, I just messed up, so you only have the first half of the Gemara because I cut and pasted the beginning section twice. I guess it got messed up a little bit. The Gemara tells us, "Ove kochavim shekidesh bismanazeh choshen lekidush." The Gemara says, "Let's say a non-Jew comes and he's mekadesh a girl, intermarries, mekadesh a girl. He does it like kedas moshe b'yisrael. You know, he takes a ring, puts it on her, etc. So is that pashas?" We would say, "Well, there's no marriage between a Jew and a non-Jew. Nothing to be worried about. It's all good to go. Nothing happened." Problem is, says the Gemara, maybe we should be choshesh that that non-Jew comes from the Aseret HaShvatim. That non-Jew comes from, we know that the Aseret HaShvatim were sent into Galus. Most of the Shvatim ended up leaving Eretz Israel and going into exile. There are people, our Jews nowadays come not from the Aseret HaShvatim, but primarily from? From? Okay. The Aseret's notwithstanding. So what we have to... So, if it comes, if you come, should we be choshesh? Some of the non-Jews are really Jews that were sort of lost along the way. Should we be choshesh for the kiddushin? Okay, the Gemara speaks about what about Rov, etc. The Gemara says that lo zazu misham acha asam akum. They made them into non-Jews. That even though maybe biologically their mother's mother were Jews along the way, they somehow made them into non-Jews. The Rishonim and Achronim are very bothered by that Gemara. If they really may have been Jewish, so how do we have the ability to make them non-Jews? Like, how does that work? So, if you look in source number 11, the Rav and the Rishim Hashirim, they're quoting Chiddush of Rav Chaim, this is a wild Chiddush. The Rav terms this Chiddush a Chiddush Nora. It's a awesome, literally, Chiddush. Where Rav Chaim maintains within the Rambam that there is a din of Hafka'as Kedushas Yisrael. This relates to Gemara Masechta Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav, I believe. But the same way that a non-Jew can become a Jew, the same way that there's a chiddush called geirus, a non-Jew can become a Jew, there is a reality in which people can sin akadekach, that they will lose their kedushas Yisrael. When does that happen and how does it happen? It doesn't happen stam, a person messes up. But the way that Reb Chaim understood it here, at least it's quoted in this Mishnah Shirim, v'hosif agrach zatzal, demash melefi arambam, she is soda dinhu, she mis kvutas Yehudim, she mumrim l'chol tarakula. You have Jews, a community of Jews, that they don't keep anything. And it gets to the point where they don't even know anymore or relate to themselves as Jews. It's totally mufka from the world. Yes, Sarah Zashvatim. They don't even miss the, they have no idea. And there's no indication, no remnant at all. The Avha Goyim Shemisvivam Einem Machshivin or some Yehudim El Akim. And no one knows that they're a Jew. No one relates to them as a Jew, says Reb Chaim. Azayish Chachamim Koach HaTorah Lehafkia Kochalos Kedushas Yisrael Mehem V'lasosim Ke'akim L'chol Dineim V'afil L'kula. That sin, sometimes, the Rav quotes Reb Chaim, again, it's an awesome, not in a good way, chiddush, that sometimes sin is not just on a personal level, it's mechayiv, and sometimes sin is me'tame, and sometimes sin, no, this is the capacity, says Reb Chaim, the way the Rav quotes it, that a people, a community of Jews, even though biologically they are, if they're so mufka, no one knows the Jews anymore, it's been generations, and they're all lost, they are no longer considered to be Jews. Says, this is a fascinating ha'ara, says Reb Chaim, to go one step further, he says, I don't even think you need a formal Beis Din to do this. It can happen a bit. It's paka mimela. It can be undone sometimes automatically. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, let's go back to the 1500s. You have Muranos in Spain. You have people who are Jewish who are hiding it. And eventually what happened with those Muranos is at some point, this is not my expertise historically at all, but let's just go with the version we were taught in elementary school because I'm still holding there, that eventually what happens are those Jews, they keep certain rituals and it's hidden, but eventually as the generations progress, so maybe the family has some like weird things here or there, but they're not misyachis to themselves as Jews. No one's misyachis to themselves as Jews. They don't know that they're Jews. There are no remnants at all. Says Reb Chaim, those people, they lose their Kedushas Yisrael at some point. So even if you get like biologically, maybe it goes all the way back, Lav dafka, we have to be choshe, safil the kula. Now, if you could moms identify biologically, it's a different question. But stam, we have to be choshe, said, oh yeah, maybe that guy comes, maybe he's Moran. No. There is a, such a chayim here. So, meshach adoros never mehem Hashem shal Yehudim, mehem machshiv mes atlan, umizdaim hayom ki goyim mehem amas faradi. They view themselves as being Spanish, vechen omrim aleihem. That's what the non-Jews say around them. Umeachar shenitmu b'mida rabba kokach, Kedushas Yisrael shalahem paka memela at valpi din harehim nachem gemurim lechol dineim bein lechur bein lekula vehu chiddush nora. So in the world of Salvation, quoting his grandfather and Chaim as a shot in the Rambam, at least in Shema Shirim there, what you have is as follows. We want to, again, I don't want to say it in too sweeping of a way, but sin, individual sin, it does certain things. And there's a capacity for tshuva to sort of rectify that. Tshuva has a capacity to fix that. And tshuva also, as far as we spoke again a lot in Emel time, the sin sort of impacts our present and future. And part of tshuva me'ava is to learn how to learn from those things, to fix ourselves, to grow. So my past does not define my present or future. But if I've messed up a lot, it doesn't mean I can't be unbelievable right now. And adarabba, if I messed up, how can I use that and channel that for higher quality of Avodas Hashem? What here you see is an additional layer, though. That when tshuva, that chata'im or a certain hafka'ah, just when you forget it entirely, I'm not keeping anything anymore, it's generation, and no one relates to me, at some point you can even lose a Kedushas Yisrael, that's a very, very wild idea, certainly for a variety of Jewish thinkers. That's the first Mahal of Rav Salvechik says. Again, it sounds somewhat, we're talking about the negativity here, you can flip it also. Part of a tshuva gives us the capacity to fix a whole lot of this, though maybe not on the klal level, but that's at least one mahalach. Comes along Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe is interesting. Rav Moshe in the Dibros Moshe, in Mesach HaSivamos, this Rav Moshe quotes also, I had a chavrusa when I learned in YU, at Rav Tovron. I was very into Dibros Moshe. But other than when I learned with him, I very rarely look up at Dibros Moshe. I think I should. No. But so Rav Moshe in Dibros Moshe, is very bothered by this Gemara. It sounds in the Gemara that there's a community of people that we are just removing their Kedushas Yisrael. Like, how do we have the ability to do that? How is that possible that we can't remove Kedushas Yisrael? How is that something which is at all, how can you even entertain that as a legitimate possibility? So first what Moshe says, I can understand it in one specific context, and here are some historical questions that we're not going to get into, but I can understand it in some historical, says Moshe, I can understand the fact that it's possible that if I see a person's messing up, and they're a ger, that then I could say, oh, like Igloi Milson Lamafreya, they never really committed to real frumkeit. That certain people could live a certain way afterwards, where we could say, it must be, and it wasn't a full conversion. But you can't say it's a motive that starts to shvat them. You can't say it about them. Like, what does that mean? They are Jews. They were born Jews. How are you mafkia it? How can it even work? And Moshe says, I don't really get how this works. It must be along the lines of, it's a limited chiddush, dafka to that Gemara. Jews are Jews, and you can't change that at all. Jews are Jews, and you can never change that. All you can do, says Rav Moshe, is what's the context of the Gemara? Do I have to be concerned when a non-Jew comes along and he's Mekadesh a girl? Do I have to be concerned that maybe he really was a Jew and therefore it's a Kiddushin? So all the Gemara says, we're Mafkiyit, it only means in Kiddushin. Essentially what it means is, Chazal are going to invoke the din, quoting the Gemara and Daf Gimel and Mesechus Ksuvis, Afkiinu Rabbanan Kiddushin Minei. That, or maybe the version quoted by Basra, that the Rabbanan have the capacity to uproot marriages. They're real Jews. They're biological Jews. You can't remove Kedushas Yisrael. You can't remove it. They're real Jews. If the Gemara says we're not treating them like Jews, it's just like Indian Kiddushin, that even though they're Jews, and even though on some level it would be a Kiddushin, Afke'inu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei, Chachamim have the power to annul or cancel marriage. But Sefer Moshe, Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael never loses their status as having Kedushas Yisrael. Klal Yisrael will never lose that. Rav Moshe reiterates that in a tshuva, in Igros Moshe, in Evan Ezer Dalet Pei Gimel. Rav Moshe is talking about a Gemara Mesechas Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Yisrael Afal Pi Shev. Chata Yisrael who? The Jews, even though they sinned, are still called Jews. And the Gemara seems to quote a pasuk. And the discussion in Poskim, whether is the pasuk really the source that a Jew, even when he sins, is still considered to be a Jew. And if Moshe says, let's clarify again, the Rav Chaim is in very extreme cases, like Aseres HaShvatim, children of Aram. It doesn't mean every time a Jew messes up, God forbid, he loses Yisrael, even if a Jew really messes up. No. It's about communities, generations where no one even knows, identifies, any shaykhs, things like that. It's one of the reasons why it does potentially raise the stakes with intermarriage and things like that. But not for a while. So Rav Moshe here in Evan Ezer, sorry, take back the intermarriage points, I just don't want to clarify what I meant. The Rav Moshe in Evan Ezer says as follows, verse number 15 on the sheet. There's absolutely no way we need a pasuk to teach us that Jews, even though they sin, are still considered to be Jews. Says in Moshe, it is a davar pashut misvara, that Jews are always considered to be Jews. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, it's an agat, the Gemara, the chavivus, the alma, but a Jew is always a Jew. And says in Moshe, it's a gezeirus, it's a chiddush that a non-Jew can become a Jew. But the idea that a Jew could lose his Kedush Yisrael, that is Barur La Gemara below Kra, it's Pashut, it's obvious. No way it wouldn't be that way. Who Nishar B'din Yisrael, who's Yisrael, Bein L'Nichiv Amitos, Bein L'Nichis, and he's a full Jew. He's a full Jew, Memela Vadai, Shebinei HaMumaros, Hem Yisraelim Gemurim. If a woman is a Jewish woman, says of Moshe, that's really what it is. And some of us, this is going to hit back to last week. Look at the Dibros Moshe, if you have it on the sheet, source number 10 at the end here. He quotes a Me'iri. But I am Bir Me'iri, the way end of source number 10. It's in Yivamos, on our pay test there. But I am Bir Me'iri, Shemash Mesh Mefarish, Sheish Koach Be'achamim Lasu Yisrael La'akam. The Me'iri seems to be the Gemara Kipshuto, that Chachamim can uproot the status of a Jew. It's more toned down, as they point out, than what Reb Chaim is saying. Reb Chaim is saying in extreme circumstances, the Me'iri seems to be saying in less extreme circumstances. You can really uproot it. says of Moshe, V'yesh esover shagam b'mamar dan azehu kein, v'tamua me'od shita zo. This Meir is very odd that you could, Chazal, Chachamim could remove this Jewish status of someone. And Rav Moshe gets very, very nervous. Because Rav Moshe, the Meiri is not a sefer that Klal Yisrael always had. It was found through manuscripts. And we saw last week, Rav Moshe is very suspect. When you find things through manuscripts, their exact status, which he shared with the Chaznish, was not through the manuscripts, Salvation was not through the manuscripts either. Father Rav, Sutter points out all the time, you know, didn't learn like all the Rishonim, he didn't learn the Meiri, because, he quotes once in a while, but he didn't learn the Meiri, because that's not, we learn the classic stuff. So Rav Moshe, even though the Meiri sounds like you could remove the Yishal of a Jew, V'ulai hu ta'os, Shaleka chazaka al svarim, shenimtsu mikaro, shloro osin chachmei hador, shelfaneinu. All these new svarim we have that the gedolim of previous generations, our chachmei previous generations didn't have access to, we can't assume everything in there is totally accurate. For the Chaznish, it's part of the Hashgacha Pratis, which is a little bit of a different angle. Chaznish thought that newer manuscripts, that the Hashgacha had it, Svarim who willed it, that certain svarim Klal Yisrael had access to, and those are the ones that are most impactful. And the ones that got lost for history, through history on some level, is because Ribbono Shel Olam didn't want those farm necessarily to be used the same way. It's part of a larger conversation about new manuscripts. Happens to be fascinating stuff. There's a good article. It's an article in Tradition years ago. There's a book I have over there that's in many ways about manuscripts. There's a article over. There's a book over there. I'll show you afterwards. Also about this. Okay. So Rav Moshe is clear they keep their status. Now Rav Moshe at the same time we have to issue some qualifications. Rav Moshe does two things that are very important. Rav Moshe does believe that while people keep Kiddush Yisrael, Rav Moshe is, we're not speaking about this, and maybe if we had more weeks we would, Rav Moshe on Reform and Conservative Jewry. Rav Moshe is at times fairly harsh as far as interactions with, I don't know, harsh by the word, he's very much opposed to a lot of interactions with Reform and Conservative Jews. He loves participating on organizations, certain kinds of organizations with them, and being involved and going to certain shuls and how you mechabe their rabbis and the status of their gedruses, the status of their gidin, lots and lots of questions that Moshe deals with. Even though Moshe here almost sounds like gevalt, everyone's a Jew and they're always a Jew, a person can be a Jew and be a sinner. And Moshe is very, very clear about that, that a person can be a Jew and he can sin. And that's a metzias, and that's real. What Rav Moshe does, though, is because he's, you know, part of Igros Moshe, is Rav Moshe dealing with the practical realities of sinners. And Rav Moshe dealing with shilas, and Rav Moshe's pragmatic. You have this shila that we referenced in Shir, at the end of Shir a couple weeks ago, in Or Chaim Beis Tzadihei, where we spoke about machlokas. You know, there's if you're going to go, a person is going to go to certain kinds of movies, certain kinds of theaters, some of these suggest Rav Moshe is probably speaking about movies and theaters where they're showing like highly inappropriate things. And the Shiloh was, this guy's going to that kind of a theater or that kind of a movie, and should he wear his yarmulke or not wear his yarmulke? That Shiloh. Where's that matter of yarmulke? So there are different kinds of answers that Poskim would give. Etzem, the fact that Rav Moshe answers the question already tells us something. Because you'd have some people that would say, this is a standard kind of answer, how can I answer the question? He shouldn't go to the thing, he should wear yarmulke. That Rav Moshe is dealing with the practical reality that there are people who do sin. He's not saying it's okay that you. He's not trying to be melamed schus on sin, but he's going to talk about halachic realities, just like how do you do it? So Rav Moshe here writes, number one, first up, it's davar aser. I can't tell you to take off your hat or your yarmulke. V'yosif od ched al cheto. You can't do more sin, more sin, more sin. But it happens to be, I can hear the tzad of not wearing it, svara gedola, assuming that you do l'shem shemayim. So Moshe, kevin sherachot lomar, sheisha tokev yitzor olav, yichav l'shem shemayim, hape kevinasol be'emes, rag l'zalzol, ve'odavar gam be'isar gederosh, u'l'chenim l'hatar. Moshe says, I think you have to wear yarmulke. Because this guy is going to do it, his real kavan is not going to l'shem shemayim, it's going to be like another zilzol, like I don't wear yarmulke, another thing. And there Moshe says, we can't, it's a chachat for yarmulke, what are we going to do? It's first two niggers Moshe, and Aleph, I think, niggers Moshe. Nerachaim is about dinim of wearing yarmulkes. So Rav Moshe does deal with the practical realities of sinners. He deals like we saw again some other truths about this. Who counts for a minion? Who doesn't count for a minion? Could we count people who are mechal Shabbos and don't keep kashrus for minyanim? Could we mechadi people with saying brachas under a chuppah who are maybe not ma'aminim that much? Are we allowed to this? Rav Moshe deals a lot with the world of chet in a very practical way, and he's not in denial of the fact that there are sinners Moshe, though, thinks that none of that changes the mahus of a person. At the end of the day, that person's still Jewish. He's still Jewish, certainly al pi din. Moshe also, though, thinks that a person, this is interesting tshuva in Or Chaim Dalad Mem in source number 16, where Rav Moshe here talks about the Gemara in Mesechas Brachos tells us that there are people who are bothering Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir wanted to daven for them to die, and then Bruya came along and Bruya corrected him, quote unquote, as far as pshat in the pasuk. Don't daven for them to die. Daven for their sins to go away. Daven for their sins to go away. When I was in YU, the Bible professor I had liked to point out that Rav Meir was actually right as far as the pshat of the pasuk. It is talking about sinners. But Bria, you know, it was nice and it was sweet, said, daven for the sinners, sins to go away, not for anything to happen to the sinners themselves. The Marsha asks the Kasha, the Marsha says, how can you daven for sins to go away? There are Jews sitting around me, what do I do? Here's an important insight, and again, in Machshava for Moshe. Not the practical reality, but even on, it's a practical Machshava kind of question, but the Marsha asks the Kasha, kol b'nei shamayim chutz me'ira shamayim. Whether you sin or not is your choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you free choice. How can I daven you don't sin? I don't have control over that. God doesn't control that. God lets you choose whether you're sinning or not. So what does it mean, HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Meir? What does it mean I can daven for you to stop sinning? What does a tefillah even look like? So Rav Moshe suggests two possibilities. One Rav Moshe says is, maybe I can daven for you that you shouldn't have certain nisyonos. I have a friend who's there's a certain kind of sin in it, and he's not in a good place. For Moshe, that has halach implications in certain halachas, and maybe for others, not as much. But for, what can I daven for? I can daven, he doesn't struggle, he doesn't have certain nisyonos, and if we can remove the nisyonos, so maybe memelel will become easier for him. Alternatively, says Rav Moshe, maybe what I can do is I can daven for him that he should be zoche to Shashem Yisbarach, Yasmin Lam Shishman, Divri Musar, Man, Nesman Tzadikim, Viashufu. Maybe I can daven that circumstances create themselves, they present themselves, so he's going to hear words of chizuk and words of musar, so that he will be able to sin. So for Rav Moshe, let's just emphasize the point. Klal Yisrael, you always, always are Jewish. You can't lose that. That Me'iri, nah, it must be. It's not the pshat in the Gemara and Yevamos. I don't even know if I trust that manuscript so much. Jews are always Jews. You can never lose it no matter what. That chiddush nor Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe is not working with. Rav Moshe is aware of the reality of chet. There are Jews who sin, and we have to deal with the halakhic reality of such. So who does count for a minyan? Who can make brachas? What shuls can I go into? Who can I be in organization with? Moshe is very real about the fact there are sinners, and that may mean I can't have full unity with. I'm not pluralistic as far as whatever they do is great also. No, certain things are not okay. Moshe, though, does think, that doesn't mean that we have no shaychus to it, doesn't mean we can't daven for them, but at the end of the day, people have their own free will. And because they have their own free will, all I can daven for is that they be presented with certain experiences for them to be, to make sure that they will not be presented with certain negative experiences, so that it makes it easier for them to come back and to repent. That's what it is for Moshe. So the Rav, we spoke about the impact of chet, as far as, yeah, these are not mutually exclusive, these perspectives, but for the Rav, it's about mechayiv, mitame, and also the way, or part of this, the way it impacts my present and future. The second mahalach for Rav Moshe, who Klal Yisrael never loses it, practical realities, and how we daven for as a result. Now we shift gears a little bit to the world of Chassidus and the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Lubavitcher Rebbe is going to talk about it in ways very different than Rav Moshe and the Lubavitcher. Now, the Lubavitcher Rebbe was a Lamdan also. What we're going to do right now, it's why the Rebbe's a Lamdan, and he has great, happens to be Lamdan, so it's fantastic. I happen to think that you find some significant overlaps between, in a bunch of different contexts, between the Rebbe's Lamdan and the Lamdan of the Rav. I remember going through the Rebbe's Ha'aras and the Michas Chinach, convinced that there are a bunch of contexts where Lubavitcher Rebbe and Soloveitchik have very, very similar ideas. Not the same in formulation, slightly different Darchei Lim, but there's definitely some real overlap. But we're going to speak about it from the perspective of Chassidus. What does it look like? So I want to start with just it's a line I'm very fond of. It's a different angle than the way Rav Moshe speaks about it. For Moshe, it's possible that Jews are always Jews because there's only Zir Sakasav, that Gerim, that, and it's very like internally halachic. For the Rebbe, we got to speak a little bit about what it means to be Jewish, what it means to have a Jewish soul, and therefore that impacts what sin can and what sin can never do.
Tarmut like this. Simcha Banav Pshischa had the line that Adam is called Adam even after he sins. Part of what Simcha Banav was conveying was that sin is not always transformative and cataclysmic. You are the same person before you sin as you are after you sin. Adam is called Adam even after the chet. Yisrael, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Afal Pishach, the same Gemara that Rav Moshe quotes, even though they sin, is still called Yisrael. Let's look at the Alter Rebbe in Chabad, a lot of Babish Rebbe here, basically Alter Rebbe, in, you know, I have here, source number 18 on the sheet, Likutei Torah and Parshas Re'eh, the Admor HaZakim. Kenachnu b'nei Yisrael mechubar mitveikin bo yisparach, Jews are connected to the Ribono Shel Olam. V'lachein tshikham anu lehargish ha-ke'ev, you should feel the pain of ha-pigam she-pagamnu, v'horadnu b'golos nitzutz elakuso yisparach, we all have sparks of Ribono Shel Olam within us. The Baal Tanya, I think in Perek Beis, at the beginning of Tanya, part of what we have is a chelek eloka mimal. There's a godliness element that is within us. Now that godliness element can at times be begulus. It can have a certain kind of exile, but there are certain parts of your soul, she'adayin nikra b'maylos of madregas hasar shebechinas Yisrael. Says the Alter Rebbe as follows. Jews are elevated holy people. We have elevated and holy souls. We have holy sparks. Says the Alter Rebbe, just like even when there are two people who are very far away from the palace, one of them is a simple peasant, and one of them is supposed to be in the palace. He just happens to be in exile right now. They are not at all comparable. The Yisrael, afal pi, even though he messes up, Yisrael, he's still a Jew, he's still elevated in many ways. For the Baba Cherebi, part of the key, and for some elements of Chabad, part of what you got to understand is that many elements of Chet, we have to speak about it as far as being external. Being external. Chet is something which a person does, it is Mechayib, it does create distance, but no Chet can ever alter or take away the inner sanctity or kedusha of a Jew. Speaking about it from the perspective of neshama, there's a great sefer, Hilchos Tshuva LaHarambam. I'm indebted to David Lauer for a bunch of years ago. I guess gifting it to me is the way I would say, because I think that's what it is. Where the Rebbe speaks as follows. Sha'ayideh Chatam is page 197 there in the collected from Sichas of the Rebbe in Tshuva. Sha'ayideh Chataim lo nasa min chatkila giron chas v'shalom biskash v'sha'atzmis de'etzim ha'neshama be'elokos. Here's paraphrasing a line from Tanya. A person is never, never that distant, says the Baba Cherebi. And nothing you do, there are places in your neshama, there are places in your soul that nothing can ever touch. Nothing can ever touch that. And nothing can ever break that. Some of the discussions here relate to the power of a Jewish soul, a more Maimonidean or the Levi kind of Mahalach, those are familiar with it. But for the Baba Cherebi here, what's going on is a person's neshama is always intact. It's always intact. And there may be some distances sometimes, and maybe like begal sometimes, but it's always there. There are elements of it that are very, very deep. Sometimes it becomes covered. Sometimes it becomes, I don't know what the verb is for, like klipad. It becomes like a... It's not tarnished, I think, because it's still tumim. It's like I'm saying maybe more than that. No. Maybe more than that. But for Chabad, that's something which is very, very powerful. That, we quoted this week in the Rav Kook Shir, is why in Chabad, because I think they say from the Mittler Rebbe, you can have an unbelievable phenomenon. How can you have a Jew sometimes who is, on the one hand, he's very distant from Ribono Shel Olam, doesn't look like he's roi for anything, and then he automatically has like a very quick turnaround. He was crazy distant, he has a very quick turnaround, and he's mekabel lots in Torah mitzvot, like right away. So sometimes there's something unhealthy about that. Sometimes I make sure that a person is building in a way which is logical and makes sense. It's always good to keep more Torah mitzvot. We want to do it in a way where a person's going to be able to, where it's going to be healthy and long-lasting. But in Chabad Chassidus, that phenomenon is not always described as being so terrible, I believe. It's described as a phenomenon which is real. How can a Jew just turn it around so quickly and become so great so fast? So for the Baba Cherebi, in Chabad, for the Mittler Rebbe at least, it's because you're not changing the inside at all. If we had to change the inside, it'd be very, very hard. The inside is always connected to Ribono Shel Olam. All we have to do is wipe things away. Like Rashi teaches us, and Maharal always emphasizes, that kapara means to like wipe away. Just to, there's a cover here, and wipe it away. Inside that, Jews are always connected.
Right now, it's like the way that some refer to it, like a diamond in the rough. There's a lot of stuff around it, but inside it's very, very pure. To create from scratch is very difficult. To reveal what's already there, to reveal what's... It may be like big gulls in a certain sense, but to reveal on some level what's already there, that is something which a person can always try and do. We spoke today, again, none of these are comprehensive or exhaustive approaches, but they are hopefully what can give us some good insight. The world of Avera, it's something which is not always as popular to talk about, but it's intriguing, it's important, in many ways it's inspiring. To lose Kedushas Yisrael, for many, can't even be done, and even for a time, it's a possibility, it could be Pakam and Mela, it's only when it's generations of people that have lost all remnant of Shaychus and Kesher, anyone identifying on any level, you know, things like that. So long as they are Rishumim Bishmecha, so long as they even like identify at all as being Jews, if you know that word. There are still remnants that are there, but the world of Chet is an important one to understand from the perspective of Machshava, and the way that Bali Machshava relate to the fact that Jews are supposed to be great and we want to do mitzvos, but not everyone does. What happens when a person, it creates a distance, it creates chiyuvim, it can impact my kedusha. Those are all critically important questions. Hopefully today we got at least some insight into a lot of it. Shkaya, guys, have a wonderful.